When he was in the Oval Office toward the end of his term, Donald Trump instituted an immigration policy known as Title 42. In a little less than a month, the Biden administration appears ready to let that policy come to an end. Two main concerns people on opposing sides have with the end of Title 42 is how it will result in an immigration surge with a system that can't handle the current numbers, as well as whether those seeking asylum will be dealt with fairly. This isn't just a concern for southern locations, by the way, since many immigrants seek to come to places like the New York City region, as well as other major cities. My first guest today is with us to explain what the intent of Title 42 was and whether the immigration system is able to handle what will be next. She is the founding member of the full-service immigration legal firm, the Castro Legal Group. Renata Castro, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me to discuss such an important topic for the American and immigrant population alike.
And learn more, by the way, of Renata's organization, CastroLegalGroup.com. Just for foundation for the person listening, what was Title 42 intended to be all about, and how was it supposed to be working?
On its surface, Title 42 was designed to give the federal government the opportunity to remove individuals or preclude them from entering the United States if they had come from regions with an infectious disease which could prove to be a problem or a danger to American society. This was instituted during the COVID pandemic, so even though there is a valid reason for the implementation of Title 42, the concerns that surrounded this implementation was that it would result in the expedited removal without an opportunity to see a judge of asylum seekers who were coming from countries which there was a risk of exposure to COVID-19 and that would have their lives at risk as a result of that expedited removal. So the idea is to protect the public safety when it comes to the overall health. But the underlying motive was to give the government at the time the opportunity to vet individuals entering the United States based on whether or not they had been exposed to an infectious disease that could prove dangerous to the American population.
Now, was that vetting being done by medical experts, or was this basically Border Patrol agents having to serve as de facto medical people?
I have to say, of all the times I've given interviews on the subject, this is the best question I have received on this matter. And no, they were not medical experts. They were Border Patrol agents, which they do a very important job for the United States, but they lack the medical expertise to make that judgment when it comes to who poses a health risk for the United States or not. And the policy was being used arbitrarily to remove individuals based on a hunch, a suspicion, a wide geographic area that was designated as a risk area. And conveniently, but not surprisingly, the geographic areas that presented risks, health risks to the United States, were mostly those that the United States is trying to curb immigration from, such as Central America.
This is an odd situation in various ways because you have, in effect, bipartisan objection over ending Title 42. I mean, even when Bernie Sanders is in favor of what some would consider to be an anti-immigration policy, doesn't that give pause for thinking, well, is he more concerned about what Title 42 is supposed to be serving as, or is he more concerned about the fact of a lack of a plan of what to do in the next segment of what will become the immigration process?
I think that when it comes to the immigration discussion, we've grown so accustomed to making it the hot potato subject of every election cycle that we have become numb to the fact that no reasonable long-term solution is presented. Title 42 affords the government a fair opportunity, if properly implemented, to vet individuals who could present a health risk to the United States. What's not being discussed is how an archaic asylum system in the United States continues to create hazardous conditions for Americans and foreigners that are looking for the asylum protection alike. And by having policies like Title 42 be at the center stage when it comes to deterrence or the elimination of Title 42 being the be-all, do-all of access to the United States, that's when we have to pause and say, are we really being represented by individuals on both sides of the aisle who know what they're doing and that are putting America first when it comes to the interests of the country? This has nothing to do with being for or against immigration. This has to do with using their legislative powers to implement policies which make sense. And I have to say, as an immigration attorney, it's been a long time since we've seen that happen in the immigration field.
Talking with Renata Castro, who is the founding member of the full-service immigration legal firm, the Castro Legal Group. CastroLegalGroup.com is the website. Find out more about their services. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. It seems to be like this is a definition of missed opportunity. For all the time the Title 42 was in place, that was the opportune time to do things like maybe push E-Verify to a mandate as opposed to a state-by-state, literally business-by-business option to do something about putting more judges on the bench that can handle the onslaught of immigration cases. But it seems like that just went into the file of something to do later.
The immigration file seems to be the file of something to do later, because being for or against immigrants seems to garner sufficient public attention to get votes at the elections. And this seems, I believe Trump really wrote the book on it, because this is not a critique. He just realized that there was a subject that would garner enough attention from voters. And I think that the current administration, the Biden administration, came with a lot of hopes and dreams of what they could really do when impacting immigration reform. This is not about hiring more judges. This is about having a more humane and effective immigration system that doesn't make individuals who are fearing for their lives go through deserts to arrive at a border and be processed by the Customs and Border Patrol agents, and really enrich private jail operators. The public needs to know that there is a system behind all of this which makes money from the desperation of these immigrants. Immigration detention centers are privately operated, and the more people that are detained, the more money that they make. We need to have a humane, effective, streamlined immigration process where asylum seekers can come to the United States already with their lives vetted. Do we want that person here? Do we believe they have a reasonable fear for their lives? So that when they come here, they come with certainty, they come ready to live their version of the American dream while contributing to society, working, paying taxes, going to school, and being productive for the American community that they choose to call home.
And go through what can be a lengthy process, and that might be another aspect that could be examined politically as well, to streamline situations based upon individuals' circumstances. And, you know, personally speaking, I've said for years, if someone wants to come into this country and say, and declares, however official it needs to be, I want to join the U.S. military, I want to become a firefighter, or an EMT, a police officer, to me that means you just went to the front of the line, madam or sir.
I agree. The Trump administration ended the MAVNI program, which allowed certain individuals to join the armed forces in the United States and to serve this country with their lives, if needed be, in exchange for becoming lawful permanent residents of the United States and subsequently citizens. Those are the people we want here. The United States, as we know today, was a country founded by common ideas, not only by birth in a certain place, but a commonality of ideas. And I believe that those who are ready to serve and work for our country, they need to go to the front of the line. But right now, the line is non-existent because we are too preoccupied demonizing the important role that immigrants who come here to work. Immigrants in their overwhelming majority come here to work and to contribute to the United States, and we are lagging behind in scientific research and development because there has been a brain bleed to other countries, such as actually Singapore, and we're losing jobs, we're losing on innovation, and quite frankly, this is not the country that we are known to be. We are known to be a country that's fair, that is a country of humanity, and a country that wants people who want to work. And there's been a while since we lived up to that expectation.
I know it's unfair to give 30 seconds for this answer, but given your experience and the direct contact you have with asylum seekers in your legal services, in the ensuing days, do you think there is going to be the much anticipated onslaught if Title 42 goes away, or will the uncertainty politically, socially, all things combined, keep the numbers at least level, if not cause people to say, well, why do I want to fall into something that's going to be maybe at least as difficult as what I'm tolerating now where I am?
I don't think there will be a surge. I think we will remain at the record high numbers we're seeing today. We need to remember there are record high numbers not only because people are coming, but because people are coming and being processed by the Border Patrol agents. So there is a lot more control in who is coming in. I don't think Title 42 is going to have the impact either for or against asylum seekers that we expect. I just think that the Biden administration needs to think of a permanent game plan to address the asylum backlog that we have.
And it's certainly true in a variety of accounts where the political impression versus the facts, as were not explained, is indeed quite different. Learn more about the work of the Castro Legal Group, castrolegalgroup.com.